The sermon text this morning from today's second reading from the book of Acts. We hear them telling the mighty works of God in our own language. Thus far the words of our text. Grace to you and peace from God our Father, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. Amen. When we take a look today at the events of Pentecost, and one of the things that, as I looked at it this week, and I was thinking, is just how one of the amazing things is just how ordinary everything is. Even if we throw back to the book of Ezekiel, and as I was reading that, and you know, there's things that just pop into your head. I'm sure you've had that experience, like you're familiar with something, and then something else pops into your head. And I was reading just this morning from the book of Ezekiel out loud, and you know, there's the prophet and the dry bones, and God is speaking, and God doesn't say, "I'm speaking to the bones." He keeps using a human intermediary. He keeps saying to the prophet, "You speak to the dry bones. You prophesy to the bones." I thought, well, that's interesting, isn't it? God isn't speaking directly to the dry bones. He's using the prophet. Like, God uses means. You know that. I know that. We know that. Water and holy baptism, bread and wine in the sacrament of the altar, human beings to deliver His word. That's what's going on here at Pentecost. God is using human beings to deliver His word. Now, we think Pentecost, 50 days from Easter, as we think of it as an event in such astounding terms. I mean, we think about it, like, what does it sound like to us? Wind and fire. Wind and fire. And oftentimes in the scriptures, wind and fire is mentioned as the messengers of God. Right? Psalm 104 is very Old Testamentish to our ears. Psalm 104, He makes the clouds His chariot. He rides on the wings of the wind. He makes His messengers winds, His ministers a flaming fire. Moses was spoken to out of a burning bush, right? Then there was the whole pillar of smoke, pillar of fire that accompanied the Israelites on their flight from Egypt. Wind and fire. But strangely enough, there isn't either one of these things on the day of Pentecost. There is no wind. Bible doesn't say there's wind. Bible says there was a sound like a rushing wind, a loud sound originating in the heavens and making its way to the place where the disciples were. Now, the comparison, whenever I see that, hear that, and I think about it and I read it, it was, and this is probably a bad comparison, but, you know, we're going to use it anyway. There's a documentary I saw once about tornadoes. Okay? And the title of the documentary was, "It Sounded Like a Freight Train." It sounded like a freight train. Right? But there is no freight train. It's just the sound like that. And this is kind of what we get in the day of Pentecost. Like, there's a sound like a rushing wind, but it doesn't say there was actually wind, just a sound like a rushing wind coming to this house and filling this house. So then you have Luke also gives the description of the tongues of fire, but not tongues of fire. What does he say? He says, "And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them." As of. It was reminiscent of fire. It wasn't really fire. Now, of course, these things are great signs, and there is no doubt about that. Whatever happened, however it happened, there are definitely great signs that are going on. As Jesus said, "I will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." Well, here it is. They have the sound of the wind. The Holy Spirit descends on them. They see the tongues as of fire. But those things were the lesser signs. Those things were to get the crowd assembled. What is the great thing that's going on? What is the magnificent thing that is going on here? It is the bestowing of the Holy Spirit upon the disciples, right? That's what's going on. And when the Holy Spirit came upon those believers, what happened? something very ordinary happened. They talked. That's what happened. They spoke. Now, it's a miraculous event that they spoke in languages they did not know. They did not babble. They weren't going blah, 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 blah. They were talking. They were speaking in other languages. The residents of Phrygia, Cappadocia, Arabians, Cretans, Arabs. How do we hear them speaking in our own tongues? They were given the gift of speaking a language they did not know, so that the gospel could be intelligible to people who were listening. They spoke audibly in real languages of real people. They talked to, as the catechism puts it, their neighbors. That's exactly what they did. And what was the content of their speech? The content of their speech was the great deeds of God. That was the content. And what is the greatest deed of God? Redemption in Jesus Christ. That is the greatest deed of God. So we can hear the disciples, one over here, one over there, another in this spot, and another in this spot, speaking of the Messiah to the people who are around them. Language. It's all really rather ordinary. Just simple language. Well, there is one extraordinary change. Like, before the resurrection, where would we have found the disciples? Right? They were hiding in the upper room. They were there for fear of the Jews. Now, who are they speaking to? They're speaking to the Jews that they were afraid of, but they're speaking boldly, and they're speaking about Jesus, the Messiah, right? They were speaking to Jews who had come to Jerusalem either on pilgrimage or to visit relatives or to worship at the temple or to conduct business. Whatever it is, whatever is going on, the amazing thing is that these disciples who were once afraid were now bold. The Holy Spirit filled them, and they are speaking of the Messiah who had come. And the Holy Spirit works in the exact same ways today, doesn't He? Right? In this instance, the Spirit had His way with the people. Question then remains for you. Have you let the Spirit have His way? Have you felt the work of the Holy Spirit? Sometimes we have comfortably spoken of Jesus to those people who are around us. And oftentimes we have put obstacles in the Spirit's way. We are too nervous. We are too afraid, too embarrassed, whichever the case may be. I mean, how easy is it to talk like a Christian? Really, even in your own house. How easy is it to speak like Christians? It's easy to say things like, well, that was bad, as opposed to, I have sinned, or you have sinned. It's easy to say, oh, that's okay, it's fine, rather than to say, you are forgiven of your sins. How often have we gotten in the way of the Spirit and not spoken what the Spirit was prompting us to speak and turned away to something else? Right? Now, note. Here's another neat note that was in there. There's some preaching going on and there's some telling going on. The disciples, when they had the Holy Spirit come upon them, they were telling the great things of God. It is Peter who stands up and begins to preach. So there's two different things going on. And some of the people were incredulous. They were disbelieving. Peter stood up. Now, you remember Peter. Peter of the get behind me, Satan fame. Right? Peter of the rooster crowing. Peter of denying his Lord three times. Yes, that Peter. That Peter preached to the Lord, preached to the people of and about the Lord. Right? He spoke to the gathered crowd. Now, he didn't speak in tongues. This is kind of a neat thing here. Okay? He speaks in one language. The Bible doesn't say which language he was preaching in, but I assume he was preaching in the language of the city, the language of home, the language of commerce. If not Aramaic, then Greek. Because Greek was kind of the English of its day. It was the language of business. It was how people got things done. It was the language that you spoke if you met somebody from another part of the world. Okay? So Aramaic or Greek, doesn't say, but he was speaking in the common tongue of his day. Right? Now a time would come, right, to evangelize the Gentiles, to go out to the pagans and do that. This was the time, though, to evangelize the faithful Jews. Because who is Peter speaking to? Right? They were faithful Jews from every part of the world dwelling in Jerusalem. And what is a faithful Jew? A faithful Jew is one who is waiting for the consolation of Israel. Right? These were Old Testament Christians. They were waiting for the appearing of the Christ. And the content of the message is going to be this. You've been waiting for the appearing of the Christ. The Christ has come and He is Jesus of Nazareth. Repent and believe the good news that for His sake your sins are forgiven and your God is merciful to you. Right? They saw in the Christ the fulfillment of the promise given to Adam upon his expulsion from the garden. One would come who would crush the serpent's head. His heel would be bruised, but he would emerge victorious in the end. Now, what would Peter preach to them? He would preach to them of the fulfillment of the words spoken through the prophet Joel. Peter would proclaim that now have come upon them the last days. The last days of the earth. Now, between Pentecost and the day that the Messiah returns, they're all the last days. And he says, now, right now is the day of salvation. Do not put it off. Do not procrastinate. Now is the time, and there is no other time. Believe in the Lord Jesus now, or perish eternally in fire. Now is the day of salvation. A really important piece of Peter's sermon at this point is that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And the name means the person and the work of Jesus Christ, the Father's Messiah. Call upon Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of all your sins. Look no more to animal sacrifices. The Son of God has sacrificed Himself upon the cross for the sake of all people. And the resurrection proves the Father's acceptance of the sacrifice. Brothers and sisters in Christ, New Testament Christians, have you sinned? Then receive from Christ your forgiveness. Humble yourselves. Repent of your sins. Confess them to your Savior. And believe and receive in His forgiveness. The name of Jesus Christ is the gospel. It is the good news which must be brought to us in order to reveal to us the Father in His grace in Christ and thus kindle in our hearts the desire for that grace and help and cause us to call on that name. Do you notice how it works? Tell first, preach, repent, receive. We are, each and every one of us, engaged in that very same mission to proclaim the name of the Lord. I've been thinking on that. It's been a couple days kicking that around in my head and pondering it. Peter was speaking to folks who are waiting for the Messiah. You might be speaking to such folks. You might be speaking to pagans. You might be speaking to those who are merely, quote-unquote, spiritual. Right? But what I noticed is Peter didn't lead with the law. It's not what he... Oh, he'll get to it if you read the rest of his sermon. He pointed out very clearly that they crucified the Lord's Messiah. But he didn't lead with the law. And neither did the others. What did they lead with? They led with the introduction of Jesus. Let me tell you about Jesus. Why do I need to hear about Jesus? Well, I want to share Jesus with you. I know who I am, I know what I am, and I know what Jesus has done for me. Let me tell you about Jesus. They led with the introduction of Jesus. And I imagine that that is still good for each and every one of us today. You know what? You're going to speak to Christians. You're going to speak to strong Christians. You're going to speak to weak Christians. You're going to speak to lapsed Christians. We may converse with believers who believe in nothing, doubters, or those who cling to a God who is not our own God. Perhaps, if we remember, we, each and every one of us, can say, I trust in Jesus, as opposed to leading with, you're a sinner on the way to hell. Once we get someone to ask, why Jesus? Then comes repentance. Then comes amendment of life. But the tree comes before the fruit, the new birth before the growth. And none of this is our own doing. It is all the doing and the work of God's Holy Spirit. If we don't listen to the Spirit, we won't be strong enough to carry on. And so today we ask the Father, send us the Spirit so that we can tell of the Son to the end that many people are saved. And you know what? We do that in the most incredibly, amazingly ordinary way that there is. We do it by talking. But the Holy Spirit brings the most incredible, amazing, and extraordinary results. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.